All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is December the 2nd, 2022. Hope all is well in your world. It's been a hot minute since we've done the podcast. I tried to do one, a few days ago. I wasn't feeling it. So I just have to step away and come back another time and see if we can do something. But it is the, what is today? It's Friday. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Chilly. I won't say freezing, but it's definitely, we're into it. We're into winter. I'm not sure when the first day of winter is, but it feels like we are definitely into it. And it is the holiday season, so that is always exciting for business. Hopefully your business is thriving due to the season. Mine is, but I don't know. I'm always seem to be busy. But I, like I've shared before, I try to manage it a little differently. I don't know. I'm doing okay. I'm just, it's funny. I shared the other day, a friend of mine came in the program. He's doing well. It's awesome. Love it. It's funny when you start to, like for me, being sober for a while, people will come into my life that, you can tell they're, maybe thinking about getting sober. Usually you hear some stories of the life of, using and stuff and the ups and downs of it. I don't know if I can always decipher, I think, is that the right word? If someone's looking to maybe get sober or, because I'm sure we've all seen, the person that calls and is pretty beat up and you share some stuff with them. And then, a day later, they're like, yeah, I think I'm going to be all right. And just kind of proceed with what they were doing, which is, hey, that's fine. When it's our time, it's our time. But when someone does come in, like my buddy came in the other day and he had a direct path right into the door. Usually when our life gets really wacky and crazy, it makes the door to a meeting or some sort of something like that real wide. It's easy. There's no denying that I need to get into this meeting. But when something like that happens, you try to share some things that maybe worked for me or that you've seen work for others, sort of these back to basics kind of things. And, he was all jazzed up and I said, listen, and I wrote down on this, he had a piece of paper, I wrote it down. I just said, stay in the day, right? Stay in the day, because it is real. I know for myself, it is real easy to get out of the day. And when I think about this, because I've shared a lot about, my higher power and my lower power and the relationship and the spiritual awakening. And, it's all, if I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what is it that's keeping me out of the day? If I get out of the day and I start, thinking into next week or next month, anxiety starts showing up. I start creating this picture. And I'm not sure who's painting with who's holding the brush, right? Because sometimes when I get out of the day, the picture becomes very sort of dramatic, a little bit scary. Maybe it gets awesome, right? I love to talk about, getting out of the day and creating stress and drama and worry. But sometimes I get out of the day and I create like fame and fortune and like my life just gets better next week. sometimes I can paint a prettier picture than I'm actually living. Metallica. Such a good song. Sorry if that was a little heavy. I don't know. Some people, I've talked to people about this podcast. They're like, what was up with that music? I'm like, I don't know. It's just music, you know, something caught my ear. So, whatever. Metallica. But I love the message, you know, when darkness calls, right? You know, it's one day at a time. And I will get out. And, you know, early on when I got sober and recovery and, you know, one day at a time. And that was always the message. And I never realized a lot of the shit. I've shared this before. It has been, you know, as long as I've been sober or as long as I've been free of drink, all these new things become aware of. And it's pretty awesome. It's pretty stressful. You know, I was hoping that you just quit drinking and then boom, life is just good. Should be like that, right? I mean, definitely the minute you put down the drink or the minute I put down the drink, my life improved. What do they say? If you're an asshole that drinks, then you're a drunk asshole. But if you're an asshole that doesn't drink, you're just an asshole, right? And I think you know, ideally, when I first came in, it would be nice to just quit drinking and just, you know, proceed. You know, maybe we don't need a program or whatever. Just free of the drink. But unfortunately, I was one of those assholes that drank. So what ended up happening is I just became an asshole that didn't drink. And that's the stuff, you know, that I wasn't aware of. Right? I thought it was just quit drinking and life gets better. And it's this personal shit that you have to, that I had to work on. And what I realize is that I'm carrying a week's worth of thoughts, right? I'm reflecting or I'm reacting to ideas that I'm inventing, you know. Working's a great example, you know. In October and November, I know that December is busy. And in October, I'm thinking about December. And in November, I'm thinking about December. And not that I'm saying, oh, I know that December's busy. I'm saying, oh, I'm going to be working so much. I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to have so many clients. I'm not going to be able to fit them in. And it just, I'm reacting. I'm like stressing. I'm moping, right? I'm moping around because in the end, I'm just not getting my way. And what my way would be, I'm not even sure, right? That's the other thing. What is it that I would actually really want? You know, yesterday I was at the salon and, you know, we're in December, right? This is the month. This is the picture that I painted, this horrible month of overwork and too many clients. And yesterday I had two clients cancel. I had like a 4-hour hole in my book yesterday. I'm like, well, shit, I didn't paint that picture. I painted this overwork, too many people. I forgot in there to paint a picture where I may actually not have enough clients, right? There may be a day where I am not going to have a great day, you know, in the business-wise. And it's all just, you know, trying to survive. And yesterday was one of those days, you know? I had a client that, I forget, my first one canceled. I think she was sick. And then my second one, who comes down from Buffalo, not just to get her hair done by me. They have a place here, but she's like, I'm not going to be able to make it. We had damage from that big Buffalo snowstorm. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And I had this big hole in my book. Interesting. And now a new picture starts getting painted. Uh-oh, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm going to have to go bankrupt. I'm going to have to shut down the salon. It's just, it's like a freaking 2-year-old running around in a pack and play. I mean, get it together. And this is all, you know, and the message I gave to my friend was stay in the day. This is a message I need to remind myself. Stay in the freaking day. Stay in the moment. You know, I have a couple cancellations, and I'm already packing up my gear and putting in my closed sign because I just freak out, and it's ridiculous. So, you know, it's still, as long as I've been sober and as long as I've been doing this, I'm still not right. You know, I still have to manage this insecurity and fear that because, you know, and I remember I was at a meeting and I shared this. I think that I was reading the big book. It said all of our problems are created by fear. Right. My drinking was created by fear. And I was like, well, I didn't think that. I didn't particularly think that I started drinking because I was scared. But, you know, peeling back that onion, peeling it all back, I realized it was about fear. You know, my first drink was with my buddy. What was I afraid of? That he wouldn't like me. What was I afraid of? That he wouldn't think I was cool. You know, I wanted, and this has been, this kind of has been a theme in my whole life. It's, oh, I'm always looking up to somebody else, right? Whether it was Danny at an early age, different people in my life that I've always, you know, there's always the guy I looked up to was my buddy Scott, my buddy Matt. You know, it's always something that somebody had that I wanted to be like. You know, I was never, it didn't seem like I was ever satisfied just with myself. I was always, I was that kid that was always inspired by everybody else. Like, I wasn't inspiring anybody. And that's, you know, it's just all fear, right? What's my fear? I want to have friends, right? So I guess one fear would be that I have no friends. I think at some, you know, I won't speak for anybody, but I'm sure a lot of us have had moments where we've done things because we wanted to either impress or be accepted into a group. And, you know, and in the end, it's all about the fear. And so when I read that in the big book, in fact, it was a little bit of an eye opener, but thinking about it, it's very true. And everything I do, I seem, is about fear. You know, I get up, you know, can't be late. What am I afraid of? Being late to work, not having a client. It's all, it's a scary world. And, you know, the reality is that I've owned the salon for 13 years, right? I've shared that. I've had this for a long time. I've been doing this year after year, December after December after December. And in the end, I always make it. It's always fine. And it's crazy, you know. And so this year, I've like, and I've talked about it, and this is just me managing my own peace of mind. And so, by giving that advice to him, I'm like, stay in the day. And I need to remind myself of the same thing, stay in the day. It's safe here. Who knows what the hell is going to happen tomorrow? You know, last night, you know, there's, you know, being sober has brought me so many things. If I had not gotten sober, it's easy for me to reflect back to a person being sober and all the great things that have come my way. It's hard for me to imagine what my life would have been like if I had not gotten sober, because, you know, I'd like to paint the picture, oh, didn't get sober, and I spent the rest of my life grinding into the fucking ground. And I think I was going to get sober regardless, whether it was on, you know, March 31st, 1997, December 22nd, 2008. It was going to happen, right? It was eventually going to happen. People like to say, oh, I don't think I have another sober in me. You do, you know. People like to say that they got sober the first try and never had to drink again. That's fantastic. I can tell you that I've never had to drink again since my last drink. It's not important what, if you, you know, got it on the first time or the second time. I did not get it on the first time. You know, I drank after my being sober for 5 years. And what it showed me is that I was completely confused on what the fuck I was doing in the first 5 years. And I'm grateful I drank, you know. I'm sorry. But it was exactly what I needed to realize, you know, because I sort of came into this program early on other terms, like pre-existing terms, like shame and fear and embarrassment. You know, when I've gotten that fight, I have to set back years later and reflect and look back and say, what was I thinking? And what I was thinking was, I'm getting sober. And I was, but it was the first step on me getting sober. I needed to do 5 years of just being free of alcohol and start to listen and hear people. And then, unfortunately for me, I had to go back out and drink some more and, you know, lost a marriage over it. But it's exactly what I needed, because when the day that I decided to quit drinking, I did it for the reasons that I wanted to, was because I just was tired of it. It wasn't that I was embarrassed. I'd already lost everything. I'd lost everything, you know. I was hanging out with fucked up people, you know, that night in December, you know. Actually, it wasn't in December, but it was... I think it was in November. Yeah, because it was my son's getting ready to turn one. And, you know, I'm like, I'm just a mess, and I'm hanging out with fucking terrible people. I'm doing terrible things. And I was like, this, you know, this is the time I want to get sober. This is the spot. And, you know, and I did it. And, God, what a freaking, what a blessing. And last night, you know, I've shared that my son does cross country. You know, he had his banquet last night. And, you know, his mom was supposed to go. She decided she couldn't go, which I totally understand. She lives upstate. And the only guy that got to go was me. And would I have been there drunk? Or would I have been there if I'd been using alcohol? Doubt it. Would I have that relationship? Doubt it. But see, that's another funny picture. I like to paint, you know, like, oh, poor me. I was getting sober. I was going to be at that banquet last night, whether I was showing up with 14 years of sobriety, 10 years of sobriety, 5 years of sobriety, or a year of sobriety, or it, maybe it would have been my first day, but I was going to get sober. And it was inevitable. But I got to go to the banquet last night, which was totally awesome, and, you know, see my son. You know, he's graduating from high school. Done very well, and he got accepted into a college. He's leaving for college next year. Very cool, right? All these things that I couldn't barely do, he's doing, and I love it. And I love it because I'm sober. And let's see. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, yeah. You know, I'm trying to, I don't know about you, but I feel like I have all these great ideas throughout the day. And I've shared this. I am struggling with my memory. I'm getting older. I'm 54. I abused my body in a way that I'm surprised I have a brain at all, but I feel like it's starting. I'm feeling the effects from it, and my memory is just—it's partly getting older, I'm sure. But damn, there are times. I you know, the other day we had my dad over for dinner, and then I actually left and went to a meeting, and I came home, and then the next morning I was like, "Geez, I never even called my dad yesterday." And because I like to try to, you know, talk or have my dad over or at least talk to him every single day, you know, just be in touch with him. And the next day I'm like, geez, I never even called my dad. What's the matter with me? And then I realized, oh, you had him over for dinner, you fucking idiot. But so my memory is like going haywire. But I wanted, you know, so I've been trying to write some stuff down. And one of the things that I wrote down was spiritual awakening or awakening of my spirit. Which is a great topic because I remember when I first came into the program and you know, hanging out for a bit, and I started to hear terms like spiritual awakening, and I, you know, tried to figure out what that would be. It sounded like something that I would love to have. You know, I've shared that I've always, you know, I've had a relationship with church, maybe not a constant one, but... you know, if someone says, hey, we're going to go to church at 9, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. I don't hate church. I don't do it enough to say that I'm a consistent church goer. There was a time that we would go to church every Sunday. We would take the kids, and it was fine. Not sure what happened. I don't know, we get busy or something. But the term spiritual awakening, when I first came in, was always very fascinating to me. I thought that, you know, if I came in this program and I worked hard enough that a spiritual little buddy would pop out of the floor and be like my little spiritual guru that I could just have this one-on-one communication with, and it would be amazing. And one thing I realized over time is that doesn't happen. And this is all just for me. I'm not telling you what your spiritual awakening is. I'm telling me. I'm sharing about me. But the spiritual awakening... you know, it's like trying to find something like a rock, right? You're looking, you can't find the rock. You know what the rock's supposed to look like. You're looking, you can't see it. And in the determination to find the rock, that I don't pay attention to any other rocks. And that's sort of how the spiritual awakening thing was for me. I was so determined to get to a point where this spiritual buddy would come and hang out with me that I couldn't see anything else. And for me, right, this is just for me. But what I've realized in my life is that I've always had a spirit. I mean, it's written on the wall. I'm alive, right? I'm alive. I have a personality. I communicate. I have empathy. I have fears. I am a spiritual being, right? My There was a girl, the lady, she's passed away, but she used to say, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that includes alcohol. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that includes alcohol. And I used to go, why does she have to say all that? I mean, God damn, draw attention to yourself already, right? You know, but she was right. Or I think she was right. Because I really don't know. I won't know till the end, I guess. But what that means is that I always have a spirit, right? I'm a spiritual person having a human experience, meaning that this spiritual being has been put into this human vehicle, right? That included alcohol. My story included a few other things. And so hearing that and then starting to open my eyes and ears and trying to hear more about this spiritual awakening, you know, I've compared it. How I describe it is today is like giving a person a Corvette, a car, parking it in their driveway, and then throwing the keys inside a garage and then filling the garage up with boxes and shutting the door. You know, the Corvette being our spirituality. But on each box is just fear, right? Insecurity, fear, wealth, money, romance, relationships, all these different things that happen in our life that distract us, distract me, from the spiritual awakening. And what the steps do, what I've learned, is that they allow me to help to kind of, first of all, you know, when I realized that I wasn't just going to have a spiritual buddy, but it was going to require some work. To me, that's opening the garage door. It's like, oh, there's a garage full of boxes blocking me from getting the keys. There was my mind and my what I thought was reality, which the spiritual buddy showing up, which isn't reality. When I kind of moved through that and realized, hey, maybe I am a spiritual being and maybe I'm just consumed by self-centered fear, that at least allowed the door to open. And then I could start to work on each one of these boxes, right? And, you know, maybe there's boxes that are, you know, years worth of things in. You know, maybe there are boxes that are just momentarily. This is one of those times of year where I got a lot of these little boxes that I have to clear out of the way, especially around Christmas. You know, we have three kids. We try to put money aside for the kids for Christmas. If one kid's getting more, bing, a box appears. Annoying. How come this kid's getting more than this kid? Especially with the blended family, it gets testy, right? Because you want everybody to be fair. They're all my kids, right? But, you know, times like this, you create new boxes. And the more boxes I create, the farther I am away from the keys to my spiritual Corvette. And I was telling a guy the other day, I was sharing this spiritual awakening story. And I said, sometimes, man, we just get enough boxes out of the way to get to the keys. But we're still walking in a valley of spiritual, or not spiritual, but, you know, self-centered fear. More self-centered fear. We can get to the box. We can get to the keys and we say, oh, there is a spiritual awakening in here, but there's still a lot of shit on each side of us that we need to work on, or I need to work on. And the problem is that, you know, sometimes I get to the keys and then I'm like, okay, well, that's good. I don't need to work on any of the other boxes. And that's the path to the keys starts to close in. And, you know, the relationship I have with my spirituality can go on and off, right? It's tough. I don't know if we ever get the boxes all out of the garage, but I know that I, after working this program and continuing to work the program, at least I'm aware of the fucking boxes now, right? I had my concept of a spiritual awakening prior, and then my concept of a spiritual awakening now are completely different. For me, I know that my spiritual relationship is fluid. You know, if I'm having, you know, if it's December, if we're in the middle of the month and it's busy and I'm inconvenienced and I'm having a lot of people ask me different things and then, you know, throw, you know, our personal Christmas on top, my spiritual relationship in December is a little bit tough. because I'm inconvenienced, right? And, you know, inconvenience creates arrogance. And when I'm arrogant, I'm not spiritual, you know. January, February, things slow down, start to get back settled down, start to realize, hey, you know, you've been out of your mind. And I will say, and I'm, you know, I share about this as an example, this year has not been that bad. I mean, this is like a 3 or 4 year project that I've been working on as far as managing this time of year. Because there was a few years ago that I really just had a terrible, terrible time at this time of the year. Because for one, I couldn't say no. So I'm putting people all inside other appointments. I'm working on my day off. I'm really stressing myself out. And it was miserable. It was fucking miserable. I wanted to sell the salon. I wanted to quit. I wanted to be a bus driver. I don't know. I just wanted to walk away from it. Because my problem is, which I've said before, is I am a people pleaser. And I'm a resentment maker. So in my act of pleasing people, I leave with a resentment. And unfortunately, the joy of the pleasing doesn't last as long as the annoying of the resentment. And so what happens at the end of the week or the month is I have a basket full of resentments and I'm sort of miserable. That's not fun. You know, that is a shit that eventually, I guess, can make you drink. you know, sell a salon. I don't know. I mean, that's the other thing, is that just because I'm not drinking, that doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, a mess, right? That doesn't mean that I'm not still thinking out of my spiritual realm. So, you know, this year's not been that bad. I've really tried to stay in and, you know, pay attention and, you know, help people when I can, do what I can, but realize that, you know, hopefully they'll understand and we can figure out another time for them or whatever. But yeah, I got to keep that fucking path to those keys to that spiritual awakening. But that was the big deal. You know, it was the understanding for me. You know, everybody's spiritual journey is different. But for me, realizing that a spiritual awakening wasn't the awakening of a little spiritual buddy that popped out of the floor. For me, it was awakening to the fact that I am a spiritual person already. You know, I'm already a spiritual person. Why am I not enjoying it? It's because I'm consumed by self-centered fear. You know, spiritual is very humble, God, you know, easygoing. What's this guy doing? Okay. Going to the restaurant. But the spiritual awakening, that sort of life is about God and surrendering and humility. And self-centered fear is, my dark power, my lower power, right? It's, you know, what am I not getting? I can't believe they're doing this. It's not a humble state. And it's not a great place to be. But anyway, let me see if I can do a read of daily reflections, and then I'll get out of here. I had to take a couple weeks off. I had to take a little break from doing the podcast. I had to figure out what the hell I'm talking about. So try to push this one out. I hope everyone is having a great day. Is this real for you? Is this real for people out there? Am I the only nut out here? Do you find yourself, are you a people pleaser? Do you find yourself saying yes to things with your voice and then under your voice saying, I wish I hadn't? You know, is it tough to be honest with people? It is for me, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want anybody to not like me. You know, I know for small business, and especially for a guy that doesn't know shit about business, you know, I can get caught up in that shit. All right. December 2nd, serenity. Boom. Okay, see, this is funny. Okay, I have not read this. I do not read this. I don't read any of these things. I just brought it up, and I'm going to take a look. But it is funny how it all seems to kind of tie together. Serenity, December the 2nd. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 106. As I continued to go to meetings and work the steps, something began to happen to me. I felt confused because I wasn't sure what it was that I was feeling, And then I realized I was experiencing serenity. It was a good feeling, but where had it come from? Then I realized it had come as a result of these steps. The program may not always be easy to practice, but I had to acknowledge that my serenity had come to me after working these steps. As I work the steps in everything I do, practicing these principles in all my affairs, now I find that I am awake to God, to others, and to myself. The spiritual awakening I have enjoyed as a result of working the steps is the awareness that I am no longer alone. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, listen, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone does have a great or is having a great day. Try to get back in to do some more of these podcasts. I hope you know, they help. I hope it's something to listen to. If you do enjoy them, share them. You know, let people, other people hear them. If I'm annoying, turn it off. Have a great day. Later.